So today's daf is daf nun. So we're in the end of the sugya in Mem Tesem and Beis. The Gemara had quoted one of the Takanas Neusha, which was that Hakosev kol nechasev levanav hu v'isho nizonu mehem. Even a person writes off all his nechasim to one of his children, the father and wife both had the right to be supported and be fed from the property. The Gemara at the end wanted to know whether you pask in this way or not. That's what we got to. Ibarilu hilchas, I think. So Ibarilu hilchas akavase or less hilchas akavase. Do we pask in like this to cut us usha or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yonas, and Havi Kaima, they were both standing and they were there. Hahu gavr, also hahu gavr, and a certain individual came along. Gochin, he bent down. Nashke, Rabbi Yochanan akrai, and he kissed Rabbi Yonas on his knees. So Amalei Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina said, why is this guy giving a kiss to Rabbi Yochanan? What did he do that was so great? So Amalei Kosim Nechas Levanavu. So this individual who came, who kissed him on his legs, he was a person who wrote all his Nechas, wrote all his property to his sons. And Vasitinu Lizane, Rashi explains the top of Nun Amun Aleph, Kafisi Osam Bechazaka, Rabbi Yonatan forced him. He forced the son to make sure that the parents are going to be supported from this estate. And for that reason, he held the Rabbi Yonasan, he was very happy with Rabbi Yonasan's psak and showed him a lot of respect. This guy, he wrote Kol Nechas of Lebanon. He wrote all his property off to his children. And now Rabbi Yonasan said, forced the child, the son, to make sure to support his parents.
Father kissed.
He showed him a lot of respect because Rabbi Yonatan forced him and the children, the family, to do something lifnim mashur sadin. So that's what the Gemara continues to say for another two more lines. If Rabbi Yonatan was going above and beyond the din, he made the family do more than needed to be done. That's why he showed such respect to him. But if he gave him the psak was kosev kol nechasev, the din was that you have to feed your parents. So what's the great chiddush? Why is he showing Rabbi Yonatan all this respect? That's what the psak is. So it must be, we don't paskin like kol kosev nechasev levanav, you have to feed the parents. Rather, if one wants to, it's lefinim mashur din, and that we learn from this ma'aseh of Rabbi Yonatan and this individual.
Well, we never learned this case.
The case
we learned before was different. It was that the mother and the daughter
No, that mother and daughter was a situation with more extreme case. Before Gemara brought in that case of the Amana and the Bas marrying, first it said, Kosev kol nechas levanav, hu v'isho nizonim alav. Then he said, wait a second, that's obvious. If Amana, whose daughter gets married and the son-in-law gets... Fine. Now the Gemara brings yet another Tekanas Usha, three lines from the top of Nun Amun Aleph. Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yalav, Be'usha hiskinu ha-mevazvez a'ivazvez yosem e'chamash. A very famous line. A person who's going to spend money should not spend more than a chomish, one fifth. So Rashi writes, "Hamivazvez three lines from the top. Hamivazvez laniim, the person who's going to give money to a ani mechomish shemnechasev shloitzarach lebrio. So he shouldn't have to rely himself on the brio. So he won't have to come to tzedakah if he gives so much money. So this is according to Rashi. Rashi says it's particularly a special halacha in tzedakah. There are other Rishonim, the Shita Mekubetz is among them, writes that this is a klal that applies to all mitzvahs. When a person is buying a lulav, an esek, building a sukkah, whatever it might be, a person should not spend more than a fifth of his money. It's not unique to tzedakah, it's all mitzvahs aseh. At the same time, the Rishonim and the Achronim point out, when it comes to mitzvahs lo saseh, you have to spend all the money in the world to prevent the person from violating a lo saseh. Okay, so the Gemara goes on to explain that Tani Nami Hachid is a brisa that says the same idea. Hamevazvez alivazvez yosem echamish, a person who spends the money for either tzedakah or any other mitzvah, according to other Rishonim, should not spend more than a fifth. Shema yitzarech lebrios, because he might need to rely on the brios. He spends so much money, 20% of his money, he's going to perhaps eventually become poor and have to rely on tzedakah on his own. Umais be'echav, there's once a story, an individual, shabikesh levazvez yosem echamish, he wanted to spend more than a chamish, v'lo niach lo chaveru, his friend didn't let him. Who were the players in this story? Umani, Rabbi Yishavev, Amilei, Rabbi Yishavev, Velo Hanichu Chaveru, Umani, Rabbi Yekiva. Machlok is whether Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yishavev, who exactly were the individuals here? Fine. So what comes out from this Gemara, it sounds like that there is no inyan. One should not pay more than a chomish. But the Rishonim and Acharim do discuss, let's say a person wants to spend more than 20% of his money, mehi. Some say you're not allowed to, based on this Gemara. Others say one has the right to if he wants. Also, to point out, there's a machlokas, paying up until fifth. Up until the fifth, 20% or less, is that a mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah min a mufchar only? Is it a chiyuv? There's a range in the Rishonim. Some say it's a mitzvah min a mufchar. Others say a little bit stronger, no, there's a mitzvah. Not simply a mitzvah min a mufchar, but there's a mitzvah. Others say there's actually a chiyuv to pay up until that point. So the post can point out, Shulchan Aruch brings this down the halacha with regards to Hilchot Tzedakah. He says if a person's very, very wealthy, he should pay up until fifth. Other than that, it's typically miser, tenth is all a person needs to spend on tzedakah. When it comes to mitzvahs regular, then there's we don't necessarily encourage a person to pay a fifth. If a person wants to, he can pay a fifth, but typically we say it's a tenth by other mitzvahs.
From the gross or from the net?
Sorry?
From the gross or net?
No, this is not income. This is nechassim. This is your net worth. This is different than the maaser that you pay on tzedakah. What the money you make. You're talking about the money. Is 10% of all your nechassim?
You do not have nechassim.
No, I'm not sure if it's necessarily all your net worth. If you have a $5 million house, I don't think you're expected to pay, $1 million each year of your net worth.
No, but we're not talking about my certificate.
Right.
We're talking about
Russia's and stuff.
Right.
If somebody's dying, let's say. I think you were talking somebody's dying. And
Oh, yeah, person was dying. Yeah, I thought it's talking about it. I thought it is. Look at Tosos, Ali Vazes Yosem Yechomesh. Look at Tosos, Ali Vazes Yosem Yechomesh. Tosos writes, Mifarsh b'Yushalmi, Shepam Rishona, the first time, Yachol Levazvez Chomesh.
What is the first time?
1 second. Yachol Levazvez Chomesh, Umikan ve'elech, B'chol Shana Rishona Yitain Chomesh HaRevach. So a person makes a lot of profit off a certain business deal. So that first time he makes that income, not talking about a regular salary, but a return on an investment. So then he pays a fifth of that income. Each year, any additional money he's making off his revenue, off his the Karen, any additional revenue he makes, he's going to have to pay a fifth on additional dividends are coming in, perhaps.
So, let's say you did the business, and you made money, so this is considered the first time.
Right, exactly.
So, gross or net?
So, it's very complicated. It's complicated. It's typically net, but it depends what kind of chiyuv are being, you're paying taxes to this, taxes to that person. It's very complex what's included, what's not included. But let's assume net, just to be safe for now. Like, you take out medical insurance, and that's tax-free. Is that going to be removed from your net, and you don't have to pay Meister on that? No, you do. No, but that's still. Net, if you pay taxes is something you have to do. So that's not part of your 10, 20%. But medical insurance, you don't have to do that, even though it's taken.
It's a law.
Now you do.
Now you do, right. Now it might be interesting whether or not that maybe now things could be different. But let's say before Obamacare, where a person didn't have to do medical insurance. If he needed to pay, then he'll pay for it. So then that's his own, it's his own chiv, not a chiv that comes from the government.
Can we go over that?
Can we go over it? No.
No.
there are books about it. We could discuss it. But there are svarim about this if you want. We could discuss this. Yeah?
He says, according to some
Farshim,
it's just a minhag.
Yeah, certainly. The Bach paskens is a minhag. Right. Some say it's a mitzvah, some say it's a chiv. We typically paskens a minhag, depending on your minhag, depending on the mesorah, but it's strongly advised, but a person shouldn't take it that seriously because then the minhag turns into a chiv. And if a person, let's say, goes a year without praying the proper amount, then it becomes problematic. But we typically paskens it's a minhag, but it's strongly encouraged minhag. Okay, so what's the source of this? So the Gemara says, where we go, Amar Rav Nachman v'Yisema Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Maikra, what's the pasuk of this concept of Chomish of one-fifth? V'chol asher titein li aser asrenu lecha, lach rather. Pasuk in, where is this? Not lechacha. This is Yaakov. This is by Yaakov. There are actually three places. The Rambam points out the three by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each of them have a lashon of ma'aser that's being taken. This is by Yaakov. It says by Yitzchak, Me'a Sha'arim, which they say is a reference to that he also took a ma'aser k'safin. And it also says by Avram, Maser Mikol, I think the pasuk is by Avimelech. And Avimelech, by Malki Tzedek. I forget the exact one. Is this pasuk? Yeah, I thought this was Avram also at first. It's something similar to this. Okay, but the pasuk they point out is it says v'chol asher titein li aser aser nulach. That's double lashon aser, 1/10 and another 1/10. Simple math, 1/5. So the Gemara says v'hal lo dami isur basa isur kama. But the first aser is different than the word asrenu. It's not the same exact tenth that we're referring to. So maybe it means a tenth of the tenth. Maybe only required means maybe means 1/100th only.
Tenth of the 90%.
Right. Aser. Or maybe it could be that. So something's different here. So Rashi explained that that's exactly what you said is what Rashi says.
Right. That's Renu, that Rashi?
Yeah, no, the next one. Rashi v'hadlo dami basa l'kama. D'chi shaklis l'kama pashu l'tes. Let's say you have 10. So you take away 1, you're left with 9. Now you take another 10. V'chi hadris marlis maisa. When you remove another 10th, didu lav kikam. It's not like the first one. V'ein kain chomish mishneim. It's only you're removing a 0.9. So you end up taking a total of 1.9, which is less than 2 of the 10. It's less than 1/5. It's 19% as opposed to 20%. That would be come out. So that's not exactly the same. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Ravashi Asrenu Libasra Kikama. When we say, Kol Asher Titein Li Aser, Asrenu Aser, do the Aser, the second Aser, Asrenu, like the first one, like it, Aserenu, do the another Meiser, like the first one was done. Rashi writes, Asrenu, Midiloksiv Aser, Aser Lecha, Hachikamar, the way we can interpret it is Asrenu Kirishon Kolomar Meiser Sheni Yehe Kirishon. So we're interpreting it to be a repeat Meiser, namely 20%.
Nobody was dashing that pasuk that whatever you give to Hashem, Hashem will give you double.
Now that's Aser Taser. That's a pasuk the Gemara in Tainus talks about. Aser Taser, Aser Shetit Asher.
That's a drasha.
Right, that's what you just said.
To this pasuk, Kol Asher Titen Li, meaning Hashem speaks to Yaakov, he said, whatever you give me, I'll give you double.
No. But there's another. I thought there's another pasuk Aser Taser that we read on all the Moadim, which is Aser Shetit Asher. Take Meiser, and Akash Baruch Hu is going to make you richer. And it's one of the only pasuk, the only thing you're allowed to test Hashem on, the Gemara says. Normally, right. You cannot test Hashem. Right. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Simi Barashi, Ushmuos Halalu, these sugyas, we had all these different takanas of Usha. Shmuos Halalu, Mismatos, Beholchos, they are going diminishing as the generations go on. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shmos Halalu, referring to the Rebbe Eli, B'tekanas Usha, Mismatos V'holchos Me'amarom, from the Amarom, they'd go down in generations. Harishona Amar Rebbe Eli, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum de Yehuda Bar Chanina. Hashniya is Rebbe Eli, Amar Reish Lakish, we don't have the initial person, Rebbe Yehuda Bar Chanina. And the Shlishis is simply Rebbe Eli L'chudai. Each generation, each statement, we're losing another generation before us. That's what it means. So what's the simanach? What's the mnemonic to remember these three takanas? Usha, ketanim, kasu, ubizbuzu. If you remember those three words, you're going to remember the generations, each statement of Usha, each of the takanas, in order.
What does it mean with matos volchot, meaning we're not listening to them anymore?
No, listen, just we lost a chain in the statement, I guess. Who said what? Rabbi Lai couldn't have made it up on his own because I don't think he was an Usha. But I'm not sure exactly what it means, but at least the way the statement was said, we lost one of the earlier names in the statement. So Rashi just says, what does it mean, ketanim kasu bizbuzu? So this is the mnemonic that banav uvnosav kshen ketanim, that's the first takanas usha. Hakosu nechasav is the second takanas usha. Hamivazes aivazes, that's the third takanas usha. And Rashi concludes, me'ata lo tachlev be'ezah shlosha be'ezah shenayim be'ezah echad. You won't forget which one has three names, which one has two names, and which one has one name. The generations go holchos umismatos. Okay. The Gemara in Irvin talks about how important it is to have simanach, to have signs, to have mnemonics to help remember things. It's impossible to remember unless you have a photographic memory. It's impossible to remember everything unless you have certain mnemonics to use. The Gemara oftentimes has these. So Gemara says, Amar of Yitzhak per Usha. In Usha, his kinu, they made yet another takana, sheyehe adam misgalgil im beno ad shtema srei shana. A person's supposed to be involved in his son for 12 years, mikan ve'elech yorid imo l'chayv. After that, he should go down to his life, literally. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, misgalgil im beno im misariv melilmot. If he refuses to learn, yigalgil imo benachas v'dvam rachim, you speak to him nicely and gently and be soft with him. If he refuses after the age of 12, yored imo l'chayv l'rdoso b'rtzu b'choso lechem. You whip him, you hold back your credit card, and do whatever you can after the age of 12 to make sure he is learning. Okay, this is something that we don't practice nowadays. We live in a different generation. There's not something that's encouraged at all. But the Gemara does speak about it here. There's a mission Makos that also says that the only time a person gets gullus if he's involved in an act that's a rishus, say he does a mice of cutting the wood, let's say, and accidentally kills someone, he gets gullus. But if you're involved in a mitzvah, which is what? A father hitting their son, a rebbe hitting the Talmud, or shliach bezin, those three cases, they're involved in a mitzvah, then if he accidentally kills the person, it would not result in gullus, because the person has a mitzvah to hit a son. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? The son's learned. There's no mitzvah to hit a son if he's gummier, if he's a Talmud Chacham. Or says, still, it's a mitzvah to hit the son anyways, because still, keep on the right path. You're doing a great job, but I'm going to smack you anyways to make sure you don't go off the derech. So this is something that we don't really prescribe nowadays, but there are a number of Gemaras that seem to indicate this is permitted. Okay, so Gemara says, is it really true, after the age of 12, you really yored lichaya v'eini? V'ha amr le'rav shmuel bar shilas batzimi bar shis. Under the age of 6, I'm probably going to need a lot of help with the article here. Under the age of 6, lo takbil, he's not going to accept. He's not going to be able to learn. I think that's what you're referring to. Barshis, if he's over the age of 6. Kabil, he will be able to be capable of learning. The Safle Ketur, this is the Gemara mentioned on Sunday, the Gemara in Baba Basar also, that when he's at the age of 6, you stuff him like a Torah, like a shore, like an ox. You stuff him with information, stuff. Ein Safle Ketur, if he's not able to retain all this information. So then, mihu eino yoredi molchai. You don't hit him. You don't start beating him. Chas v'shalom. Al achashem asrei son. It's not until the age of 12. So where was the question here? Did I miss the question and answer?
It's not 12. It's 6.
It's 6 before mihu.
Ah, okay. But we said.
We said 12.
It's 12, and here it says at 6.
Before a six, you stuff him like a ox. So the Gemara says, yes, in Safile Ketura, yes, you do stuff like an ox. Mihu eino yored imo l'chayev ala hashem eshteshana. But we don't start, enforcing the wrath until the age of 12. So under the age of 6 is you just let him play. Above the age of 6, you stuff him with information. If he's giving you a hard time after 12, then you start to hit him. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'ibai same alternatively, lo kasha, this is not a stira. Age of 6 versus age of 12 is halamikra, halamishna. Depends whether it's Torah Shebechsav or Torah Shebealpe. Damar Abai, Amri Li, Aim, I guess his mother, he was right. He was an orphan. So his mother said to him, his stepmother, Bar Shis Lemikra, Bar Esther Lemishna, Bar Tlesar Litanisa Mesles, Ubitinokes Bas Tresar. Meaning, the age of 6, a person's supposed to start learning Tanakh. The age of 10, a person's supposed to start learning Mishnah. And by the age of Bar Tlesar, according to the gears in front of us, is 13. But it seems there's a note on the side. Maybe it should be 12, according to a girl, 12, or a boy, 13. For 13, he's supposed to start fasting, Mesles, a full fast. And for Tinokos, it's supposed to be 12. But this is only the age of 10. We said the age of 12. No, but we said above the age of 12 is when you're supposed to start. You could hit him already. Here we're saying.
It's not a stira.
Yeah, because we're trying to say one case is 12, one is 6.
Because when it says 13, it means a day after 12.
Okay.
Klomar mishenaseh ben 12.
But that's regarding fasting, not regarding Mishnah.
Right.
Gemara wanted to say the difference between 6 and 12 is that 6 is Mikra and 12 is Mishnah. But when you have this statement of aim, it actually says 10 for Mishnah.
That's what it looks like, but you don't hit him until he's 12.
Aha, okay. So even can you say, so for Mikra also, you could say the same thing. For Mikra also, you start to teach him at 6, but you don't necessarily hit him at the age of 6.
No.
But I guess what the Gemara is saying is that there are different ages for different types of limudim, and which would mean that different ages, if they didn't reach a certain point by Mikra, it would be an earlier age, and you could start hitting them. And for Mishnah, it would be a later stage. So that's, I guess, how we're going to reconcile the different ages for Yored L'chayev. Okay. The Gemara says now further, Amar Abai says, Amri Le'em, my stepmother said to me, Hai Bar Shis de Tarkile Akrava, a 6-year-old, who was bitten, I guess, by a scorpion?
Yeah.
Okay. Biyoma de Mishim Shes, and his birthday, six-year-old birthday. Lochai, won't live. Maya Suste, what's the remedy for this? Mirasa da de achira bishichra. So Rashi says, Marasa Dadeha, Marasha Daya Shikarn Vashd. Any English translation of that? So a white bird or something that's mixed in Shechar and beer. Nashbe Vinashke. I guess you rub it on the bite. You rub it on the bite, and that way he'll live. Hi Bar Shasa, a one-year-old Ditarkle Zibur that's bitten by some type of a bug, maybe a hornet. Is it Zibur is a hornet? A bee, okay. A devora, Zalin and Dal is a devora, right? A bee. Biyoma Dimisham Shasa on the birthday, his birthday. Lochai won't live. Maya Sute, what's his remedy? Atsusa de Dikla, you take something from a date tree, and Bimaya, and place it in water. And Rashi is the Siv Shegado Saviv, the thing that wraps around, like the lula that wraps around the date trees. So you take that and rub it and soak it in water, and nashri v'nashke, and place it on the wound. Amar Rav Katina, kol machnes says, b'no pachas mi ben sheish rotza achrov v'enu magia. So anybody, Rashi says, kol machnes says, b'no lulmo Torah. Somebody who places his son under the age of 6 to start learning, rotza achrov, lavroso lachayoso, v'enu magia. You're going to start running after him to try to strengthen him, to heal him, and to have him live. Ve'ena magio, he's not going to reach it. Rashi is mesukan who lamos meirov cholsho. What happens when a person learns, he gets weaker. Rashi actually earlier also made such a line. He explains why girls start fasting earlier than boys. And he explained because girls mature earlier. And the reason is, says Rashi, because since the boys are learning Torah, they become weaker and the body slows down. That's what Rashi explains. That's why, you know, always the basketball teams, the non-Jewish basketball players are much better than Jewish basketball players because we're so much weaker. And we're shorter, we don't have the strength. They have much more strength. So
don't even let me show something basketball, man.
What?
No, but whoever do play basketball, it's not learning.
That's true.
Therefore, he doesn't have a reason.
No, they're going to yeshiva. I'm saying maybe not, it's not all day in kollel, but guys who go to yeshiva and they're learning in the morning, whatever it might be. It could be...
And they're going to learn in
Torah?
College.
No, Torah. Oh,
specifically Torah makes
Didn't hear about it. Look at Rashi halfway down Ubitinokes. See halfway down the page Ubitinokes? Shima Maharis, you see that, David?
Yeah.
Shima Maharis Lahavi Koach. She has the ability, she matures earlier. Shaina Mateshes Kocho, Koach Bilimna Torah. She's not learning, so Torah doesn't weaken her. It's a Gemara in the Dharma, I think.
Yeah, what's the source?
It says Gemara Sanhedrin. Where's the source of this?
It
says Sanhedrin here, I have. Oh. But I think it's Gemara Nedarim also. But the Torah makes you weaker. I think it's a pasuk, I think. We'll have to look it up. But this is such a concept. So the Torah makes you weaker.
Also by Rish Lakish.
Rish Lakish also.
Someone who's in the water.
Yes, yeah. Very good. By the Gemara and Yuma.
Yeah.
No, actually, Bamatia. Yuma, he was another story with him in the water in Yuma. You're right, Bamatia is the one. But in Yuma, he's also swimming in the water. And some Babylonian trying to take him out of the water, and he made fun of him for being a Babylonian or something like that. He says, Hashem hates you. He says, what are you talking about? Because you live in Bavel, something like that. But he's swimming in the water. So, but yeah, you're right. The Bar Metzia, when he came, Baal Tshuva, and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so the Gemara says, a person who brings his son to Cheder under the age of 6, he's going to be running after him to try to keep him alive, and he's not going to be able to catch up because he's so weak. He's so, so weak and won't be able to make it.
What?
Because from learning Torah. That's another one now. We didn't get to Ikadamri yet.
Oh.
But I was just reviewing what we said. Now, Ikadamri, Chaverav, Ratzon Achrav, Vein Maginoso. What this means is his friends are trying to chase up to him. Lios Pikechem Torah Kamosa, says Rashi, to try to be as wise and are not able to catch up. So Rav Yashiv, when he used to learn when he was very, very young, he learned the lesson with his grandfather when he was very, very young. He was very, very sick often when he was young. Many times they thought he wasn't going to make it, actually. So he certainly was very, very weak. But at the end of the day, they're both true. And then he made it, and his friend were trying to catch up to him, and they weren't able to catch up to him. So both of them were really, he was in great danger many times, but obviously Pikech and Liman HaTorah. So then the Gemara says, V'tervayu isnu chalas v'gamar. And they're both true, right? The Gemara says, they're both true. The person gets weak from learning, and he also becomes much wiser from learning when he's so young. So there's a risk, but there's a greater return. Ibaizema, alternatively, hadekachish hadebaria. It depends. If the guy's naturally weaker, then a person should not bring him in when he's so young because he's in danger. But if he's strong and he's wise, so then he's able to withstand a early cheder. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Beusha, another Takan of Usha, Hiskinu Haisha Shemacher Benichse Mulug Bechaye Baila Umesa. So a woman, so what happens is when a woman gets married, she brings in a Nichse Mulug on her own property, not the dowry. The dowry goes to the husband, but that's called the Tzon Barzel. The Nichse Mulug is her property that she brings in that she owns, but the husband has full rights to use her property. So what happens is that she sells her property. She sells her Nichse Mulug during the life of her husband. So that person who buys it gets to use it. But the husband has a certain lien on it because he had the rights to use the fruit. So what happens is, Mesa, she dies now. Habal, motz miyat halakuchos, the husband goes ahead and can take it out of the possession of the person who lukeach. The person who bought the property from the wife, he had this lien before that sale, has the right to go take it from the lukeach. Rashi explains why this is true. Habal motzi, dishav yahu rabbanon kilokeach vilokeach rishon. The Chachamim had made the husband as a din of a lokeach, even though he never actually bought it, but he has a din of a lokeach. So he really bought the property before the wife sold it to the other person. So he's able to always pull it back after she dies. So Ashkecha, Tosfos has a whole discussion here. It might depend on whether kinyan peres or kinyan guf dami, machlokas, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, if anyone wants it on the side there. Gemara says, Ashkecha, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, l'Rabbi Abohu. Once of Yitzhak found Rabbi Abohu, to have a koi b'chlusa de'usha. He's one standing uchlusa. What does uchlusa mean? So Rashi tells us that it refers to asifas b'nei adam. There was a big gathering of people there. You find this language also in the Gemara in Pesachim. They used to,
No, brachos, nunches.
It's also
Pesachim.
Right, Ula. Now I'm talking about the Gemara in Pesachim. The king wanted to know the population, so they counted all the bones of the carbon Pesach to know the census.
How many karbanos they made?
Yeah, how many people were there, but they did it based on the karbanos they counted. But okay, so the Gemara says, so we found this word appear. So he saw that Rabbi Bo was sitting in the standing in the population. There was a whole gathering in Usha. So Amar Leih, so he says to him, Man Mara de Shmaisa de Usha. Who was the author? Who was the one who created all these takanas of Usha? So Rabbi responded back to him, Amar Leih, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. He was the author of all the takanos. Tani Minei Arbam Zimnon, he taught it over to him 40 times. V'dame Leih Keman Demancha Leih Bekisse. It was as if it was in his back pocket. We see there's a beginning to chadra something 40 times. We see there's a few places in Shas that you do this in order to remember it well. So the Gemara says, Ashrei Shomei Mishpat, Oset Staka B'choles. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that appears in Tehillim, that praiseworthy is he who protects Mishpat and does tzedakah at every moment. V'chi efshar la'asos tzedakah b'choles. Is it possible to do tzedakah every single moment? You give tzedakah once, and that's it. You're going to give a penny every single second. It's impossible. So Gemara says, Darshu Raboseinu Shebi Yavna. In Yavna, they made the following drasha. Amilei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer made the drasha. Zehazan Banavu V'nosav K'shen Katanim. This is a reference to the person who supports his children when they are minors. They're Mekayim this pasuk of tzedakah b'choles. Rashi explains, Zehazan Banav, why is it called tzedakah? Because Zehazan Banav V'nosav K'tanim Shetamid Yom V'layla Day and Night Hein Alav V'hi Tzedakah She'inu Chayiv Chiv Alav Behem. We saw this in the past. There's no obligation to feed your children. So one who does this is doing a tremendous tzedakah. So we're all doing tzedakah here. Beautiful.
Non-stop,
exactly. B'choles. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Yomer, Zeh Megadol Yosum V'yosoma B'soch Beso. This is referring to someone who raises an orphan girl or boy in his house. Umasiyan Ohon V'osha B'veso.
No.
So, Umasiyan, and marries him off. Okay, so that's what this pasuk refers to. That's a tzedakah B'choles. Hon V'osha, there's another pasuk that appears in Tehillim, the very next, the same pasuk. No, sorry, different pasuk. Hon v'osher b'beso, v'tzikaso omer deslad. What's hon? Hon's another word for osher, another type of rich, wealth, right? Wealth and wealth, much of the difference, but wealth and wealth, that's in a person's house, the tzedakah will stand for him forever. What does this mean? Rav Huna, Rav Chista had a machlokas. Chad amar zeha lomeid Torah umelamda, one who learns and also teaches. Rashi explains the last six lines, zeha lomeid Torah umelamda, Miskayemes bo, it will be retained within him. Hare hon v'osher beveso, v'tzidkaso omedes la'ad al shetarach l'lamed l'tamidim. The fact that he put so much effort into teaching his students is going to remain beveso la'ol me'ad forever.
Bismola osher v'chavod.
Hmm?
Bismola osher v'chavod.
Okay. Same idea here. Okay, he's bringing a raya. Then the other one says, Chadamar, other one says, Kosev Torah Nevi'im V'Ksuvim U'Mashim L'Acherim, one who, a sofer, who writes Tanakh and lends out for others to use. So Rashi explains, what does this mean? How do you fit this into the Pasuk? Say, Rashi says, Kosev HaSvarim L'Kaimim Lo Shenim Kalim, they will not expire. They won't go bad. So the actual Svarim will be stayed forever and the Tzedakah will remain forever as well. And then the Gemara says at the end, Amr, the last few lines of the page, Urei vanim luvanecha, shalom al Yisrael, and see, the sons will see your sons, and there'll be shalom on Yisrael. What does that mean? Amr Rishu ben Levi, kevin shebanim luvanecha, shalom al Yisrael. Since there'll be children to your children, in other words, you'll have grandchildren, there'll be shalom al Yisrael. Why? Very interesting. That means it won't be Yibum Chalitza, because as we've seen, when there are children involved in the marriage and a husband dies and leaves over a child, there's no need for Yibum Chalitza. And there's no need for Yibum Chalitza, that means there's going to be Lav Shalom, there'll be no fighting. Not exactly how we expected this pasuk to be interpreted. And Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Kevin Shebanim Levanecha, Shalom al Dainei Yisrael de lo Asi Lin Tsuye. If there are grandchildren, there will be no fighting. Why? Rashi explains, Lintuye, mi karo v'kodo v'nachla. They're not going to fight who gets which Yerusha. So there's a certain order that the Torah tells them who gets to what. Things will be clear if there are grandchildren. Because obviously the grandchildren, right, the sons who have sons, the sons always come first. They're the first ones in Yerusha. No need for fighting. But if there are no sons, then machlokes, who's closer? Is it that uncle, that great uncle, that cousin? And it gets very, very sticky.
That's why it's the best to give while you're alive. Not fighting when you're dead.
How do they? No, the fact that they, I guess that when a person's son dies and there are grandchildren for that one, then they'll be no fighting for that one. So the Gemara says in the very last line of Nun Amud Aleph, Zeh Medrash Darash Rabbi Elazar Lefnei Chachamim. This refers back to the Mishnah that he made a drasha from the Ksuba, the fact that the sons only get Yerusha after the death of the father, so too the daughters only have an obligation to receive Mizonos after the death of the father. But during the life of the father, we either said there was no obligation and not even a mitzvah, or we said maybe there was a mitzvah even though there was no obligation. So Gemara says, top of Nun Amud Beis, Yosef Rav Yosef Kamid Rav Hamnuna V'Yosef Rav Hamnuna Kamar, said the following, Kishem Shein Habanim Yorishin Ela Minakarka, Kach ein habanos nizonos ela minakarka. Just like the sons are only going to be yorish from the property, the ground, the land, so too daughters are only going to be fed from the karka. So that's true. Only if the karka metalton also. Why is that not the case? I was going to explain later on. Okay, avshalah kuyama. Everyone got started a whole ruckus here. The shavik ara. Who do yarse lay banal? The lo shavik ara lo yarse lay banal. So only if a person leaves over a property, a house, that's the only situation where the son's going to be yorish. But if he doesn't leave over a house, the son won't be yorish. So the Gemara explains: Amar Rav Yosef v'dilma ksubas binin dachrin kamar dichrin kamar. May is referring to this different type of ksuba binim dichrin. So Rashi explains. Let's read through the Rashi's here. Go to top Rashi. It's a long Rashi. The second one. Let's do the first one though. Avash alev kuyama. Who lo perish de banim yarshin de kamar ksuvas binin dichrin hu? The surin shestam yirusha kamar shein habanim yarshin mitatlin. The initial statement sounded like in general, a son doesn't get yirusha at all unless it's karka. And of course, what do you mean? Of course, he gets all the mitatlin. So the Gemara says referring to ksuvas binin dichrin, which is what? So look at Rashi, the next one. Dilmo ksuvas binin dichrin kamar mar. The fisha shtei takanos halalu shetiknu chachamim b'tenai ksuva lom dos zumizum. Since these two takanos, as we're about to see, are both Tanaim that were written by the Chachamim, we can learn one from the next. Ubiksubas bin dichrin Tanaim Perak Mishaya Naswe, Gemara later on. Dein Nigbas bin Metaltlin, this bin dichrin can only be collected from the Karka, but it's not collected from Metaltlin. The Tanaim, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afil Yesham Nechasim, Shein Lamachrayos, Einam Klum Ache Yesham Nechasim, Sheish Machrayos. You have to have Nechasim that have Achrayos, which is another term of saying Karka. Mutter Moser Al Shteik Subas Dinar. The Gemara says that refers to bin dichrin. The Tanan, the Mishnah says further, Mishaya Nasa Shte Nashim, a person who's married to two wives. Umesu, and they die. Vacharkach Mesu, then the husband dies. V'yisomim shekol achas mevakshin ksubas imam. Now each wife, or the children of the wife who's now dead, want the ksuba of their mother. Kigon shekksubas haachas meruba. O im shteyam shavu, so maybe they're both equal. Pamim shebnei haachas rabim v'nei haachas muatin. Maybe one wife left over more children than the other. V'osam muatim, the ones who have less, mevakshin ksubas iman v'yachalku b'neim. The ones who have the less people want their ksuba. Let's say the mother's ksuba was $200. They want to split it among themselves. The second set of children from the other wife, yichalku es ksubas iman b'neim. Ubamalein b'koach tenai ksubas iman shekasuv b'hen ksubas b'nei dirchen. That the ksubas b'nei dirchen dehavin lichi minei inen yarsin kasev ksubas echa. The halacha is that the sons of the mother get the ksuba. So if a person's mother dies, and then it comes time to collect the ksuba, the children of that particular mother gets to collect their ksuba in particular, separate from the father's yusha, from the mother in particular. Im yesh moser, Rashi continues, im yesh moser dinar al shtei ksubos shetiskayim bo nachla deraisa elu notlin ksubas iman ve'elu notlin ksubas iman v'imlav cholkin b'shavla l'min ha'gugolosem. If there's enough to go around that this family of sons get a ksuba of their mother and they split among themselves, and there's enough for the other one to split it, then they split that way, 100 for these 5 kids and 100 for those 10 kids. But if it doesn't work out that way, they take all the money together and split it equally among the 15 children. That's what Rashi goes on to say. That's based on the Gemara's later on. But the yesod is that ksubas binin dichrin is particularly when the children, the sons, are collecting their mother's ksuba. And that halacha they can only collect from the karka, not from metalton. That's what they're referring to here. So again, let's read that inside. The response was that Amar Le Rav Yosef, Dilma ksubas binin dichrin kamar. Mar, maybe he's referring to that particular type of ksuba that the sons collect, the ksuba of the mother. So Amar Le, Mar, Digav Rabahu, Yavda, Mai Kamina. So he says, Mar, this Rav Yosef was a big gavarabba because he knew how to explain, he knew what he was saying. So Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef, Rav, Zon, Michita Dalia. Rav would, feed or sustain, let's see, Rashi says. Right. Rashi says, Rav Zan Michite Dalia. Rashi explains, Yisomos Bolafanov. The orphans came in front of him. Vitovos Mizonos Michite Davian. And they wanted to have some food from the wheat of their father. Shaloha Yusham Karkals. There was no karka left. El Metaltlin Vinasan Lam. And he gave them money anyways. Even though the lach is you're only supposed to feed them seemingly from the Mekarka, in this case, he gave them from the Metaltlin. So Gemara says, Ibailhu. Parnasa havia, was this Parnasa? Umayli, what does it mean? Aliyah, miulio da'av, from the best part of the father, I guess. Rashi, Gemara says, uchad shmuel, nama shmuel, le Parnasa, shemin ba'av. When it comes to Parnasa, Rashi explains, Parnasa havi, lo mizonas hayu, Parnasas nedunya li nyase, vahi gavi mi metatole. It wasn't to give them food, it was to give them a Parnasa, to give them nedunya, a dowry to give over for allow them to get married. And when it comes to a dowry to get married, then you're allowed to even collect from Metaltolin. Oh, or perhaps, the Gemara says, Dimon Mizoni Mamishave, maybe it really meant for them to have food on the table. Umay Aliyah, what does it mean, Aliyah? Midvarm Tovim Shinemu Baliyah. One of the good things that was said, apparently, in the attic of the Aliyah of Tamar of Yitzhak Bar Yosef, Baliyah, in the attic, Hiskinushi Bnos Nizonos Mina Metaltolin. They made a special takana that the doors are allowed to be fed from metalton, not necessarily from karka. So they're trying to interpret these words. Does aliyah mean the best of the property for a dowry to get married? Or mamish means mizonos. Aliyah meant mamish in an aliyah, mamish in an attic. And we find a few places where they used to go to the attic to learn. Such an in exists. Right? The mission, Shabbos talks about the aliyah, the 18 gzeres that took place in the aliyah of, who was it? Whose attic was it? It was Rabbi Chanina? Rabbi Nechunya? Which staff is it coming on? Nunches brachas p'ula. Okay, so what happened? We see a few places in Shas where the machadish halachas and takanas in particular in the aliyah. So we don't know what the case was here. So the Gemara says Tashma biyade de Rebbe benai achu de Rebbe Chia bar Abba have metaltlin. In the hand of Rabbi Benai, who was a brother of Rebbe Chia, he had metaltlin de yasme. He had the property of the Yisomim. I guess he was overseeing them. And also lekame de Shmuel, they came to Shmuel. Amrle zil zun. Go and get food from them. Go feed the banos. Go feed the daughters. So my la. A lot of korbanos, he used to say. A lot of korbanos. So my la, what does it mean? The my la, what's it referring? Is it not referring to a limizone? To give them mizonos? Uch, the Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Svirlei, that you're allowed to use metaltlim to feed the daughters. And this was referring to Rav Yitzchak's chiddush that he made in the Aliyah. Lo, Hashem lefarnasa havino. That was a reference to giving the parnasa the nedunya in order for them to get married. Ushmuel latame, and Shmuel going according to his shita. Damar Shmuel lefarnasa shaman ba'av. You when you need for parnasa, you assess it based on the father's property, and even the metaltlin are included. Okay. So the Gemara says further. Havuvda bin Naharda, once there was a case in Naharda, the Dun Dina din Naharda, and the judges of Naharda judged Bipumpadisa. They judged in Pumpadisa. The Agve Ravchana Barbizna, and they Ravchana collected it. So I guess this was the story. Rashi says, Lazun mina metaltun. Such a case happened once, and they paskin one should lazun to give mizonos to the daughters, even from the metaltun. So Rav Amar Lahu, Rav Nachman Zila Adre, Rav Nachman, by the way, throughout Shas was a very, very strong personality. The Gemara Baba Kama, maybe you got there in the morning Chabura, Daf Ches or so. So there's a discussion of whether Avadim are Kimatatolim or Kimakaridim, Tami. And then I think it was Rav Blazar, was it maybe? Having back and forth, Rav Nachman was standing in the room, Rav Blazar, and Rav Nachman was asking questions, and Rav Blazar just gave up. Then after Rav Nachman left, so he says to the other person in the room, by the way, I could have just responded this way. So I think it's Rashi writes that why didn't he respond? Because Rav Nachman's very, very strong personality. He was scared. He was scared to respond to Rav Nachman because he's very, very, very fierce. I think Rav Nachman was also I think he married the daughter of the Nasi, right? The daughter of Nasi? You're good at that history stuff.
I know Banti Rav Nachman and Bachshu B'Kedera, the Gemara says in Gittin that they were, your daughters went off the Derech.
Right, they're
involved in witchcraft.
Right. I think he may have married the Nasi. That's the daughter of the Nasi.
I wonder if his personality is what led to his daughter.
But we're not making such psychoanalysis from the Amorim, but maybe. But either way, Rav Nachman was very, very struck. So Rav Nachman, we find a few places. Go back. He says, Zil Hadre. I want you to do a search. Go back and return that money. You have no right to give that money from the Metaltlim to feed the daughters. Vilo, if not, Vilo Magvino Lechu. If not, I'm going to take the money from you if you don't make them return the money back. Magvino Lechu, Laftan Naichu Minaichu. That's what that's referring to. He's going to collect. What's the exact definition of the? It's some piece of property or something,
mansion.
Right? The mansion. Yeah, the Gemara in Bamati also quotes that. Right. So he's gonna. I'm gonna take that mansion from you. I guess they live in mansions. The Amorim. So Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Savar Limazen Mimatatale. They Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi wanted to. They thought to collect from the Metaltlin in order to support the daughters. Something that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish never did, you're going to consider doing? So they ended up not doing this. Rabbi Blazer Savar Lemezim Mimetatlan, he also thought to support the daughters from the Metatlan. Amr Lefana Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliakim, Rabbi Yodea Nibacha, Shemidas Adin, Ataose, Elamidas Rachmanas. I understand you want to do this out of Rachmanas. You want to really help the daughters out, the girls out. It's a very nice thing. Ella shema yura tamidim veikvu halacha ledoros. So, but let's say the students might see what you're doing and think, oh, that's the psak, and they're going to misinterpret it. So for that reason, you have to be very, very careful, and probably best for you not to feed them from the daughters. So then, hahu dasa the comedy of Yosef. Once a person came in front of Rav Yosef, amar lahu, he said to them, havu la mitamre dal budya. He says, go give the daughters, go give her from the dates that were on the budya. What's that? Rashi explains. It was little mats they placed below the date trees when they would be taking the dates off the tree. So give them from the dates that were lying on the ground on top of these mats, it sounds like. So exactly, they disconnected from the tree, detached from the tree, therefore the metaltlin. So then the response was, Amr Le'abai, Abai says to Rav Yosef, Ilu Baal Chov Hava, if you're a Baal Chov, will we say, here's a Baal Chov, give them these fruit to pay off the debt? So so if a Baal Chov Rashi explains who has a koch yafe, we don't give the metalton to pay off the debt. How then are we able to pay Yisomim who have a hura kochan? We shouldn't be able to pay them from these dates that are on the tree. So the response is Amalei dechazi lebudya kaminya. So what I mean to say is Rashi explains hakrovos ligdor v'adayin mechubaros, that those are about to fall but are still attached to the tree. So they're still mekarkai, but they're ripe and ready to be eaten. That's what I was referring to. Give those to the banos. Sof, the Gemara says in the top of Nun Amud Aleph, Sof, kol homer ligzos kigozos dami, the tzricha, the dikla, kamina. In the end of the day, anything that has the ability, Sof, kol homer ligzos kigozos dami, anything that's about to, that's ready to be picked off, is viewed as being picked off, and is already viewed as metalton, which, by the way, is a big machlokas, the Gemara's in the Gittin, I know the Gittin guy, almost like Batsaros, right? The Gemara in Rebbe Meir, the 10 things, Esenetios, omnim Batsaros. So Gemara says, no, the tzricha, the dikla, kamina. I'm referring to those that are ripe, but still need the tree a little bit more, take those off a little bit prematurely, give them to the daughters to feed from them. This way it's mekarkai, but at the same time it's still edible. Okay, let's stop here because my phone's about to die, but we could do